Monster.
It's Wine. And this podcast may not be suitable for all ages.
The opinions we have in our podcast aren't necessarily the same of those of the Comic Bastards.
So blame us if things get too saucy.
Or too awesome.
Let's go!
Coming to you live from Syria, amidst the airstrikes and chemical attacks, it's the Monster and Wine Hour. I'm Monster.
And I'm Wine.
And I'm just kidding. That's not where we're at. I mean, come on. I'm just trying to be topical here. How are we doing, people? How are we doing?
We're doing. We're enduring.
We are, because I am exhausted.
I am too.
I'm like feeling it today. Like, I just feel tired. I feel like I could fall asleep during this show.
Oh man, I was gonna say that. If it had been my turn to open, I was gonna say, well, Monster, I hope you have a great show for the folks.
I don't know that we've ever had a great show. Just kidding. They're all home runs, people. But yeah, I'm tired. I don't know. I'm just feeling it today and I'm pooped. But we're gonna try.
We always do. I mean, I think everybody's feeling it, especially with this past week. Just like, man. Just those man.
We hungry but them belly full. My eyelids are heavy.
Man,
I got a few things on my list.
You got something to say?
I got a few things to say.
All right.
A couple of those things are kind of ranty. It's been a while since I've pulled that ripcord.
Rev it up. Warm it up, Chris.
I'm a bass, too.
Because that's what you were born to do.
Right. Remember those little cars back in those little Matchbox cars, I think they were, that you put the little ripper cord through them and you pull them and they went,
yeah,
speed.
I do.
Yeah. Classics. So I'm at the supermarket today.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Jason, before you start, can I just say,
Based on
the stories that you tell and the rant that you're about to get into, I listened to a guy, Tony Kornheiser. He's a 70-year-old Jewish man. And sometimes...
Are there parallels?
Sometimes I just laugh because I'm like, my God, Jason is Mr. Tony without the bank check. Like,
I'm a 70-year-old Jew.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're not. But Mr. Tony has the air of elite because he's a one percenter, and so he's very affable and he's a wealthy man. I don't know if he's wealthy. He's rich. It's just
what
fun.
You're saying is I'm like that, but we don't know how I got that way.
Well, you're like that, there's an added layer of frustration because you're not as wealthy as he is.
Very true.
You know what I mean? Like he has a level of annoyance in his everyday life of dealing with things, and other people on the show, they're not as well off as him, and they point out like, oh, that was kind of ridiculous what you said. But your rant then takes on an extra level because you aren't at the top of the mountain looking down. You're amongst it all, but still. Let's go. Let's get into this.
Oh boy. I'm at the supermarket this morning. First of all,
what time were you at the supermarket?
Closing in on 9 a.m.
Perfect.
And I gotta tell you, this is my typical grocery shopping time. And it's rarely, if ever, crowded, as you can imagine at that time.
God love you if I didn't work weekdays or if I had a different schedule, I would be there in a weekday morning at 9 a.m. As it is, I'm there around 10 a.m. Saturday.
Right. I understand. It's a very busy time. Weekend shopping. But it was really crowded this morning. And typically, again, when I go, there's only one register open. It's all you need. There was like four or five open.
What's going on? Is everyone preparing for Armageddon in Colorado?
I wondered if there was some sort of holiday or festivities that I wasn't aware of.
Palm Sunday.
Yeah, I didn't know, but I'm pushing my baby buggy around, you know, not the full-size buggy, but the little small one.
Oh, don't tell my brother that. Oh, he's cringing.
I'm sorry, Wine's brother. I cringed at first, too, but then I found out it does have a purpose. Its existence is valid for me. So I'm pushing my little buggy, and I see this big display of all these new drinks.
What kind of drinks?
And you know me, Aaron. If it's new or if it's limited edition.
Like a moth to the flame.
Moth to the flame. And it was a Mountain Dew display. It was kind of like Pepsi products, I guess you could say. Mountain Dew had like four new drinks.
Oh.
Now, Mountain Dew has this label series, is what they call it. The label series. You may have seen the black label Mountain Dew. That's been out for a while now.
I have not.
Now, they have green label and they have white label. And next to that, they had these two new Mountain Dew drinks called Mountain Dew Spiked.
No, what? They're killing us.
And they give zero fucks. They're just like, we proudly kill. So this spiked drink, I would say, what does this mean, spiked? There was a huge warning on it that said this is non-alcoholic because, you know, you see spiked, people start thinking spiked with what?
Oh, then you had my attention. I assume spiked with caffeine. Like, it's going to make your heart explode.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. I'll just go through these drinks.
It's not spiked with sugar. They've already done that.
I'm not even done with all the drinks, but we'll just tackle Mountain Dew for now. Okay?
I think we found our investigative series, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to do an 8-part series on drinks.
Watch out, Lisa Ling.
This is my life.
This is my life. Now, this is called Mountain Dew Spiked. There's two flavors. Mountain Dew Spiked Lemonade. Oh. Spiked with prickly pear cactus juice.
Mountain Dew.
And in big letters, non-alcoholic underneath it. The other flavor? Not really stepping outside that wheelhouse too much. Raspberry lemonade.
I do enjoy a nice raspberry lemonade.
Bet your sweet ass. I love a good raspberry lemonade as well. A pink lemonade, what have you. A strawberry lemonade, a fruit blend. Again, raspberry lemonade spiked with the same thing. Prickly pear cactus juice.
This prickly pear cactus juice, I feel like I've had a run-in with it in some vitamin water. I don't think it went well.
I know what you mean. Like, I feel like that has been put in something before, something else prior to this, as like something exotic or something. You get what I mean? Like,
I do.
Ooh, haven't we tickled your butthole with a feather this prickly pear cactus juice?
I feel like there's a big push to make prickly pear the new kiwi. Remember? Because when we were little kids, there was nothing with kiwi in it. Kiwis were unheard of. I didn't know what a kiwi was until I was in middle school. And I was like, what the hell? It was exotic
when we were young.
Yeah, and the first time I heard of a kiwi, it wasn't the fruit. It was because it was a Snapple, strawberry kiwi. And I'm like, I don't even know what a kiwi is. And from then on, kiwis just got added to everything.
Surely there is a boardroom filled with old white men saying, prickly pear cactus juice. Where has the push begun?
Well, it's the prickly pear. It's the Prickly Pear Association Farmers of America that it, right. The lobbyists that are pushing this prickly pear is the next kiwi.
Now, I want to say that I haven't tried these drinks yet, but I bought them because, of course, I did. Now, I'll have a review for you on next week's episode because I have to pace myself, people. Like, I'm not going to have, like, all these drinks in one day just to get the reviews done for this show. I do want to live. Now, back to this label series. Now, the black label drink has been out for a while now. It's, like, in a tall kind of energy drink size can.
Yes, it does look very monster-y.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you've seen it. It's got, like, this black matte finish on the can. Like, it's a nice-looking can. Mountain Dew's trying, I suppose. And the can says, deeper, darker dew. It's Mountain Dew with crafted dark berry. That's what the can says.
What's dark berry?
I know. Have you ever heard of, like, picking a dark berry out of your garden? That's so, like, nondescript.
I feel like that... I got a warning sign in my gut. I instantly felt like I don't. It sounds racist. I don't know if it might not be, but it certainly sounds as if that's a term that Southerners used for something. I don't know if I can fully like get behind this term.
We love you, Southerners. If you're listening,
they know what I mean.
I do. The website here says, bringing a bold, crafted berry flavor with elegant herbal bitters.
Oh, my gosh. Mountain
Dew Black Label is the perfect complement to any experience that requires a little extra edge.
No.
Like if you're gonna do anal for the first time, you just start chugging it. Upscale and refined.
You were gonna do shots of I don't even know a really insert really expensive tequila here. That's what you were gonna do, but you decided no. I'm gonna be equally as classy in this debauchery without the alcohol. I saw the can.
It says upscale and refined. It's the only thing you need to fuel your dark side.
I'm not going to look at the kid that's holding this Mountain Dew can waiting for the bus and think, my God, GQ. Get him on the cover.
That kid. Oh, and then you see his other hand and he's smoking a cigarette. That kid has edge because smoking is so early 2000s, late 1999.
Oh, taboo, taboo, taboo.
So I'll just say that I've had this Black Label Mountain Dew. But here's my review. I only had it once. Forgettable.
It was just like, what is this? True critic fashion, you just boiled it down to what it needed to be. And all you need to know about this drink is that it's forgettable.
Forgettable.
Thank you, because that's what I thought it was going to be. And I feel vindicated.
Right. So this was a long time ago when I had that. Like I said, that one's been out for a while, but I have only had it that one time. Now, they've unleashed the green label. I'm currently sipping it. Hold on. Yeah, I just took a sip. Now, this says, curiously daring do. It's Mountain Dew Green Label crafted green apple kiwi.
Get the fuck out of here. I'm so sick of these green apple flavors. I like green apples. I was raised on green apples. No red apples came up into the Bush domicile. It was strictly a green Granny Smith apple household that I grew up in.
Well, Aaron, I'll say this. Here's my review for the green label.
Oh, I want it to be I want it to be awful, and I want you to cut to the quick with just one word that's a vicious takedown.
Forgettable.
Ah, yes. That's what I was hoping for.
Well, Mountain Dew is in the energy drink market, right?
In the young men market.
Yeah, with their I think it's called Kickstart. Their Mountain Dew energy drinks. Now, whatever their signature flavor is for the Kickstart, which I've had before, it's like Kickstart Lemon Lime or something.
Well, they have two, didn't they?
They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, whoa, whoa. Too many.
Right. Their OG flavor of Kickstart, the Lemon Lime, it tastes exactly like this green label. I'm like, did you guys just repackage this shit?
When I looked at I pulled up a Google image. I looked at the green label, and do you know what I saw when I saw the green label? Before I just taking it in, not reading anything, but just purely taking it in from a design thing, design eye. Yeah. I thought ginger ale. And it made me want I was like, ooh, I hope that's ginger ale. I really like a nice ginger ale.
It looks a lot like a Sprite can and a 7-Up can mixed together.
I saw Seagram's. The Seagram's ginger ale can.
I get you. Here's their description. We're letting loose and unleashing a whole new do that's as spontaneous as you are. Made with a uniquely intense combination of crafted kiwi and apple flavors, Mountain Dew Green Label is classing up the joint with a fierce flavor to match your fearless lifestyle.
It's... I'm just really getting tired of the advertising, and I understand why, because cash rules everything around me, but I'm just really getting sick of the advertising that's jumped on this whole, like, they're going to label a millennial bandwagon, but it's kind of just people, like, realizing what is the meaning of life, but to just, like, you get one shot, you should try to be as happy as you can possibly be. Why be a downer? And so it's all this uplifting kind of stuff. I'm not mad at their message or anything, but I kind of am, because they're not being sincere in it. It's they're just saying that so that I'll be like, oh my, by God, I am, no boundaries can hold me, so I need a drink that no boundaries can hold. I'm gonna buy this Mountain Dew.
It is a very millennial take on marketing.
Yeah, it's not anti-millennial. I mean, I have my qualms. Even I don't need, because you and I, sometimes we're labeled as millennial, sometimes we're not. We're right on that cusp where, I mean, we remember a time before the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really feel like, oh, I'm a millennial. But when it comes to certain things, like, I just kind of laugh, because there's some things that I witness and I'm just like, wow, you know, people give millennials a hard time, but sometimes I'm just like, you know what? Go for it. Sometimes I need to be happy. Me. Like, maybe they're onto something with that kind of stuff.
I won't be complimenting them in this episode, but maybe next week, but not this one.
You didn't see what I saw this week. You haven't lived the life I lived this week.
No, but anyway, I will say that this series from Mountain Dew is their pretentious series. This is like Mountain Dew putting on their their beard, big frame glasses, bow tie, hipster
it's
look.
It's hipster Mountain Dew.
Yeah, it's hipster Dew.
They're angry because they can't figure out a way to make a craft brewed Mountain Dew. They're working on it.
Yeah. And I did get the white label. The white label Mountain Dew that says mysteriously exotic dew. Dew with crafted tropical citrus.
I'm surprised this hasn't started some sort of Twitter beef. Label is exotic.
Well, us white people are exotic, but you black people are edgy. That's what Mountain Dew's teaching us. Mountain Dew White Label combines a familiar dew punch.
My God, it's so racist.
With tantalizing and unexpected crafted tropical flavors. But there's nothing tropical about white people. Take its mysterious power into your hands and use it to harness whatever excitement is on the horizon. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, read the black label again.
But they called the black people.
I know.
It's really what you've done to me, Aaron. You've got me thinking of race constantly. For the black kid, it's upscale and refined.
They're trying so hard.
See, I can't win. Mountain Dew, you can't win.
You can't win, Mountain Dew.
And let me tell you, with a flavor like this green label, you really can't win, people. It's forgettable.
I want to know what the yellow label is.
I mean, I've had the black, I've had the green. I will try the white, but let me tell you, the bar is low. It's very low. Didn't you say you tried those Pepsi drinks, the 1893 drink?
Not only did I try them, I didn't try the caffeine-free one, like the copper can one. But the black can, I've gotten it more than one occasion. And every time I go to my Ralph's, I check to see the refrigerator to see if one's in there. Because if I see one, I get it. I like it. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Aaron. Because after I walked away from the Mountain Dew display with four cans in my baby buggy...
Doing a little skip.
Do a little sampler tour. Well, the 1893 has two new flavors out.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about this.
However, I'm trying to bring it up on Pepsi's website makes me want to punch a child.
Well, Pepsi's had a week.
I mean, how do I navigate this?
I don't know. You lost me. I don't go to like Pepsi's website.
This is the first time and the last.
The voice of a new generation, my ass.
Oh man, that's a day. That's a throwback right there, people. Oh, fuck. Well, I'm doing a show here, people.
You know, I don't know if this is true or not, but I just heard it. Just real quick on the whole, like, Pepsi thing. Because everybody's mad about the Pepsi, and yeah, it was advertising. I get it, but I was like, whatever. Thing, though, about Pepsi, during World War II, Coca-Cola Classic, which I love. Pepsi, Coca-Cola Classic, I'm a Coca-Cola Classic girl. But Pepsi, Coca-Cola Classic would not send over their supply and shipments to the colored troops during World War II. But Pepsi would. So I'm just saying. Just throwing out a little bit of history there for people. Who get all mad and all like, oh my God, Pepsi. Like,
I'm not mad.
Maybe slow your roll. I'm not saying you are. I'm just, it was just a thought that I had during the week.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, by the way, you're talking, okay, there's four cans You had the black 1893, which is the original cola. The copper one is actually the ginger cola.
Yes, I have not tried it. I'm off-putted by the copper can. I don't know why. I think it's caffeine-free for some reason.
But you're kind of into, well, not for some reason, but because most soda brands use that bronze copper color to denote their caffeine-free variety.
Yes, yes.
That's got somewhere in your subconscious.
It's there. Taken root.
Yeah. So they got two new flavors. Black currant cola. As in the berry or the fruit or whatever. Currant, not like a...
Oh, I thought it was like the like black, wave. The official Black Lives Matter cola. I'm like, really? Yeah. I'm a current black person, so this is my black people cola? Well, Pepsi, you have gone too far now.
I bought it out of guilt. And
I support it.
And then the orange can, which is 1893 citrus cola.
Oh, man. Citrus cola.
Premium cola infused with grapefruit essence.
Grapefruit essence.
That's my least favorite essence, quite frankly. I'm not a fan of grapefruit.
Sour.
The black currant cola is premium cola infused with a bold berry finish.
Oh,
I haven't
tried
either, but I did put them both in my baby buggy.
Did
so
you?
When I went up to the register, I had like six cans, individual drinks.
I'm making a video.
And yeah, no, right? This guy must be on YouTube. And his finances must be taking a hit. But they probably looked at the cans and thought our displays are working.
Cha-ching.
Yeah. But I'm intrigued to try those. And again, I'll let you know.
Had you tried the original cola yet?
I have tried the original one and the ginger.
How did the ginger compare cola to your Seagram's, your Canada Dry?
Oh, the ginger ale-ish flavor.
Yes.
The ginger notes, if you will. Oh, put me on eater.com. Not as strong, obviously, as a straight-up ginger ale. But it's interesting because you really do get that kind of cola ginger ale mix. But now, somehow it kind of works.
I don't know. Did you look at the can? Did you see, like, the ingredients? Was it more of... Because I feel like maybe...
Was it more ginger or cola? I'll tell you this, Aaron. The way you toil over a decision like this would lead people to think that one can cost $100.
Well, right now it pretty much does.
I mean, we're talking like a dollar drink that you could just take a sip and go, oh, this tastes like piss, and throw it in the trash.
This is a new era.
The dawn of a new vehicle owner.
Yeah, exactly. This is there's a new monthly payment going on. So, I mean,
has it begun?
No, it hasn't begun yet. But I'm preparing.
Well, you said
what is it? Austerior measures are in place and about to be taken.
I understand. I understand.
I know exactly how much, like when I go into Ralph's, how much I can spend.
Okay, well then I would say just buy yourself a can, and even if you don't like it, just drink it to spite the cost.
Well, today, like this week coming up tomorrow, it's looking like if they have it, I could possibly swing it because of the eggs were on sale last week, so I don't need to buy eggs this week. Long story short.
I don't recall thinking it was gross. I thought it was pretty good. Again, I didn't buy it more than once, but I didn't hate it. I don't remember being like, fuck this. But again, I didn't also think, I can't wait to get this again. So yeah. I think it's worth trying. But again, I'm a sucker for trying anything once with these new limited edition snacks and or drinks.
Oh, you love them. Can I just say that when I go through the grocery store, I have my list of things that I get, And if it's not on the list, I don't.
It doesn't make the cut.
Yeah, it does not make the cut. And so I go by, and every once in a while, I'm kind of like, oh, what's that? And I'll see some stand, and I'll be like, Jason will tell me about that.
Yeah, I probably will.
Yeah, I don't. They'll tell me.
Don't get me wrong. I make my list, too, but I do keep my peepers peeled for some new product that they're trying to get out there. I don't always fall for it, though. I did not buy the Oreo Peeps.
Oh.
With the marshmallow peep cream.
Yeah, that sounds delicious. I'm hoping maybe someone listening will maybe just stuff them in a suitcase.
Well, they're not chocolate cookies either. They're not the chocolate Oreos. They're the vanilla Oreos.
Ooh.
Pink cream.
I like the vanilla Oreos.
Yeah. I think, look, Oreo, what a great cookie.
I'm a big fan. People talk shit on Oreos.
Who are these assholes?
I've heard people. I've heard people. People are talking. People are talking. And they, yeah, you're right. They're assholes. Because the Oreo, oh, it's such a delightful cookie.
Not only is the Oreo great, like, it has such a unique taste that when you go to like Walmart or Target and buy like their store brand version of the Oreo, aka the chocolate cookie with cream, it tastes nowhere near the taste of an Oreo.
Oreos is to their cookie as like McDonald's is to their food.
Like, those are the guys when they're talking about their proprietary blend of ingredients.
Yeah, that's on lock.
I believe it. I'm like, they got a thing going there that other companies have not been able to tap into, because your Hydrox or your Great Value chocolate cookies with vanilla cream don't even come close.
I can't be certain.
Like a fucking Oreo.
I think that Hydrox actually came first.
Okay. Even still, you can't fuck with the taste of an Oreo.
Hey, I believe it's evolution as far as I'm concerned. Hydrox came out, Oreo said, that's good, but we can elevate this.
But the same can't be said for other cookies. Like, you buy Chips Ahoy, it's pretty good, but you can buy other knockoff brands that taste almost just as good, in my opinion.
In my opinion, though, if you want a Chips Ahoy type cookie.
Yeah.
The number one cookie that I go for, Famous Amos.
Yeah.
Because Famous Amos.
Saying,
yeah, Famous
you got
Amos.
Those alternatives.
It's got that taste. Like, I can tell a difference. I bet in a blind taste test, I could tell the difference between a Famous Amos cookie and a Chips Ahoy.
Right. That's a good way to put it, because you can never put an Oreo down and then one of its many knockoffs next to it. You'll be able to pick the Oreo every time. I'm that confident in it.
No, I'm right there with you.
And not only is the Oreo cookie delicious, but it's one of the few brands where its many spinoffs are almost just as dope.
Oh, don't. Oh, like, my weakness. My weakness, Jason. We just said that if it's not on the list, I don't buy it. But that is not a complete truth. The little Famous Amos like cup cans and the Oreo minis. Oh, forget about it.
I'm talking about, you know how Oreo has really branched out flavor wise in the last, I don't know, 5 years or so.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, because they're fucking delicious. Like, their lemon cream cookies with the vanilla cookie, great, but. The real revelation is their cinnamon roll cookies.
My dad said the same thing.
Me and your dad, dude, bro fist pound it, because those, they're almost better than regular Oreos, which is an outrageous statement, but they are, as the kids say, they're the truth. You eat a cinnamon roll Oreo, you will not regret it. I fucking love them.
My problem with the cinnamon Oreo, and you're going to be like, that's not a problem. What are you talking about?
This show's over.
Yeah. No, exactly. You're going to be like, you're an idiot. What are you even saying?
Go ahead.
With your regular Oreos, you can get your Oreo minis or you can get your regular Oreos. Like you go to 7-Eleven and they come in like a, you can get a six pack or the mini Oreos. You can get a cup of them. My problem with the cinnamon roll Oreos is that you gotta buy a whole goddamn, like, container.
You're right, Aaron. That is the stupidest complaint for a cookie.
I can't eat that many Oreos.
The complaint is
I get too many. I want snack size. I want really? It's a treat. It's a treat.
It hurts me to dismiss your argument, but I have to. I just Tinder swiped it to the left.
Get out of here.
I'm sorry. But yeah, cinnamon roll Oreos, if you haven't had them, people, just at least fucking try them. You'll be like, I'm glad I got so many because I'm going to face fuck this whole bag.
No, I didn't. I didn't make it through half the bag.
But that's because you're one of those rare human beings that have restraint and willpower and a desire to stay somewhat fit.
I probably have Asperger's. I probably have Oreos Asperger's.
You do. You're weird. You're socially awkward with Oreos. You don't know how to socialize with them.
I don't know. There's too many of you.
They're just looking at you going, eat me, damn it.
And I'm like, I can't.
I can't because I'm a strong human being.
I mean, but it's trust not just, it's not just there's sugar a lot of us that aren't, Aaron, and we love it. But what about your teeth? All the sugar?
We don't want a five-pack of cinnamon roll Oreos.
I want a six-pack. I want a six-pack that's in the vending machine. What's wrong with that? It's 85 cents.
All right, Jillian Michaels.
Yeah, fuck you.
But yeah, I don't even know what I was fucking talking about. But we just got distracted with Oreos and how majestic they are.
Beautiful. Now I want a six pack.
They really are the beautiful cookie.
They are the beautiful cookie. If soccer had an official cookie, it would be the Oreo.
Exactly. Right. The beautiful cookie and the beautiful game.
They are together. The official cookie of the Bush family.
Love a good Oreo. Now. Something I want to talk about. We didn't have time for it last week.
Oh, yes. And you made a note.
I did make a note. Now, you might not give two shits about this, Aaron. I'm not sure where you stand on it. But ooh. I am excited.
Okay.
One of the most memorable movies for me as a youth was the Stephen King TV miniseries, It.
Oh.
It came out in 1990. It was a 3-hour, 2-part miniseries adapted from the Stephen King novel of the same name. Now, the reason I call it memorable is because, aka, traumatized the fuck out of me, as it did many other people from what I'm gathering. Because it could single-handedly be the reason why clowns make me uncomfortable. Because it's
not because of John Wayne Gacy.
No, it is because of Pennywise the Dancing Clown, which portrayed by the very, very talented Tim Curry in the 1990 miniseries. Now, Pennywise the Dancing Clown is the title character and main antagonist of Stephen King's 1986 horror novel, It. The character is an entity that preys upon the local children of Derry, Maine, roughly every 27 years, using a variety of abilities that include shape-shifting, manipulation, and going unnoticed by adults, like only the kids can see him. It's terrifying for me. Stephen King came up with the idea for Pennywise after asking himself what scared children, quote, more than anything else in the world. So.
Well,
yeah.
I didn't see, 1990, I was in Germany, so I missed it. Literally. Get it? See what I did there? It.
Hey-o. But it's a, let me just say that it's a great I think it's a great television miniseries. There was a lot of star power, especially for the time that it came out. Like, it had Harry Anderson, it had Annette O'Toole, it had John Ritter, of course, Tim Curry. A lot of big names for the time. It was terrifying. And the first half of the movie focuses on the group as children.
Mm-hmm.
And the second half of the movie is they're adults and they realize that it has come back for them after they had thought they had defeated it. And so it's being remade.
Yes, I've heard this.
And I've been anticipating the trailer for this movie ever since I heard that they were remaking it. Like, I've just been so frothing at the mouth. Like, just, I'd actually be online, believe it or not, looking for any little nugget of information. I wanted to see what the new interpretation of Pennywise would be, and I wanted to see who was going to be cast in it, obviously. And I knew that the guy that did the first season of True Detective was writing it or something like that, Gary Fukunaga. And I was just like, okay. And I was like reading his whole concept of how he wanted to portray this movie. And I was like, okay. I'm nodding my head. I'm like, I see where this dude's head's at. I like where his head's at. And then I found out that he, you know, removed himself from the project for various reasons. And then it got delayed. And then a new director took over. But then Gary Fukunaga was still involved with the script and stuff, so I still felt okay because I really liked his vision from what I was reading. And
it's Gary Fukunaga.
Who? What is it, Gary?
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know him that well, but I like his ideas. Then I started seeing like some images from the set that the director was kind of leaking and stuff, and I thought, oh, this shit looks pretty cool. So now we're dealing with Pennywise being played by Bill Skarsgård.
Okay. Is
that other Skarsgård dude's little brother, I guess.
What's Did you see name? The movie Mama with Jessica Chastain? And the guy from the Lannister guy from Game of Thrones. I remember when it came out. It's like a horror movie where they adopt his like niece and nephew maybe or something, and they're like weird.
Oh, so the director of this movie, the remake of It, yeah, he directed Mama.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So Bill Skarsgård is Pennywise. I don't really know his work, to be honest with you.
I know Alex. Alexander
Skarsgård's his brother.
Oh.
So, anywho, I'm looking at the cast, and I don't know any of the kids except for two of them. I know the token black kid, because, you know, there's the token black kid in the group in the original, in the book. I don't know his name, the actor's name, but he's on Hawaii Five-O, and I watch Hawaii Five-O. Yeah. And I know the kid from Stranger Things. Like, the main kid from the group in Stranger Things, he's one of the nerdy kids. And this group of kids is called the Losers Club. That's the kind of the name they give themselves or whatever. Some shit like that. But anyway, I saw the trailer. The cinematography, which I rarely talk about, who gives a fuck in most cases, is done by this Korean dude, Chung Hoon Chung. That's a lot of Chung in one name. But he is Park Chan-wook's cinematographer for all his movies. He is one of my favorite Korean directors that does all these really dark movies like Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance and Lady Vengeance, the Vengeance trilogy, and he did Old Boy.
Yeah. That's a messed up movie.
I, the cinematography, the guy, it's the same guy. So just, you can see it in the trailer. You're just like, damn, this is a good looking movie. But anyway, it's a great trailer. It looks very reminiscent to the original. Like they tried to stay as true to the source material as they could, which is always a good thing, in my opinion. Pennywise does look different. Tim Curry's version of it was more kind of goofy and silly. Like you'd see him initially and you'd think, oh, he's very much a clown, right? Like a goofy kind of clown. Mm-hmm. But then once he got close, he would be vicious, which is terrifying. And you can see that because it's like, oh, that clown kind of lures children in because he's all happy and goofy. And then suddenly he's a fucking monster. It's terrifying. This Bill Skarsgård's version of Pennywise, they show him very little, but he just looks more, he just looks terrifying from the outset. Like you just see him and you're like, I'm going to go the opposite direction.
He's got a creepy look. His brother isn't as creepy looking.
Yeah. Like, he just looks frightening. But it looks like the group of kids, they look very capable, which I'm always nervous about kid actors, as you know. But I got a good vibe from it. Obviously, it's just like a teaser trailer. But I'm really happy with what I saw. It looks like they're really trying to stick with the source material. And I'm just super excited for it because I really have, that movie really stuck with me for a long time. Just that storyline. It's a really good portrayal of, you know, a group of friends bonding and sticking together through all these years and through all these horrible circumstances. I think that aspect of the story is just done really well. So it really stood out to me for that. And obviously the terrifying fucking clown. But if they can capture that, which is so important in this story, just that chemistry of the kids, then it could be a winner because I really like what I saw. And apparently, if this does well, and I hope it does, the second film will come out and that'll be them as adults, just like the original story. So this first movie is just going to be the kids.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I'm tickled. I'm a pig rolling in slop over it. And apparently it was like a huge trending trailer. Like on YouTube, it was like number one trending for like a while.
I heard about it.
20 million views in less than a day or something. But, you know, that's, I think a lot of people have either seen the miniseries or read the book, you know. It's a big property. I would like to know what Stephen King thought of the trailer, quite frankly. I would like to hear his thoughts, but we'll see.
I mean, if he's kind of smart, he'll just not really say anything.
Yeah. I mean, unless he liked it, then he probably would say something. But if he didn't like it, just stay quiet.
Well,
I won't assume that he didn't like it.
It's a trailer. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's...
Exactly.
The Watchmen trailer looked fantastic.
That's the thing, people. Always take trailers with a grain of salt. People get so... Didn't we talk about this last week or the week before?
Yeah.
About how insane people get over the hype machine?
Yeah, we did. We discussed it. We went in depth. We had a rant.
But I will say that the trailer for this tickled my asshole with a feather so much that I think we lost the feather in my butt cheeks.
Ew.
It got stuck in there.
You're going to need to go to a doctor.
I do. He's like, there's a feather in here. I'd be like, dude, look at this trailer. You'll get it. And he's like, it looks cool, but I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm not going to see it.
Yeah. I want it to be terrifying. Obviously, it won't be as much because I was younger when the original came out. But I want it to make me uncomfortable. Because that's what it should do. That's how it's supposed to be. And it's interesting because as kids, this movie's them as kids. It's going to take place in the 80s. So it's a little more modernized in that sense for this generation because I imagine... the first movie will be in the 80s, and then when they're adults, it'll be modern day, 2017. Whereas in the miniseries, when it was the 60s, I believe, when they mm-hmm. were kids, and mm-hmm. then they were adults in 1990. So they did change it to that degree, but it makes sense to me, so I ain't mad at it. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so that does lead me to a rant. Ooh. But I don't want to make it a long rant, but I am annoyed at something. Like to hear it?
Yeah, here it goes.
Here it goes. And this is a rant against not really Stranger Things, that TV series on Netflix, but it involves Stranger Things.
It's tangential. It's tangential. Stranger Things is tangential to the rant you're about to go on.
Let's clap it up for that. The word usage.
Hey, come on.
Clap it up, people. It's kind of geared towards the people out there that suck the teat of Stranger Things. Like it's God's gift to the fucking world.
No, I think the same people that are all about the trailers that we were talking about.
Yeah, those people. Every time now, when there's a TV show or a movie that focuses on a group of young people hanging out, without fail, someone will say, "Oh, it's giving me that Stranger Things vibe." Do you know how much I want to smack the person that says that?
It's just because instantly you... I mean...
It's become that benchmark for that a group of kids hanging out. And I'm just like, it is not a Stranger Things vibe.
It's just because that's how old we are now. Like when we were little kids, it was Stand By Me and it was like Goonies and everything was set in the 60s. All the little kids, it was the 60s because the people who were in charge of making it were kids in the 60s. Now the people who are in charge of making things, their childhood was in the 80s. So when you look back, everything's going to be in the 80s now because that's who's in control right now. That's who's creative. It's not a Stranger Things just tapped into that zeitgeist first or like best or most mainstream.
I know I'm showing my age with that, but I'm thinking to myself, that doesn't make it a Stranger Things vibe. A Stranger Things vibe is a sci-fi vibe. Not kids just hanging out, motherfucker.
No, yeah, but now the Stranger Things vibe, because they captured that 80s vibe so good, even down to the title sequence and the music. It was super 80s. That's why we liked it, because it got it right. We're like, wow, they really nailed it. And so now anytime that anything is in that time span, especially if it's written by these millennials who don't even remember the 80s or weren't even alive in the 80s, they're just going to say, yeah.
Yeah, and it's them. And that's why they're not getting a compliment in this episode. But I will say this. I enjoyed Stranger Things, but again, I was born in 1980. Oh my God, he just told the truth. But I wonder, and it's impossible for me to disassociate my sense of nostalgia out of my overall enjoyment of Stranger Things. And I wonder if that show would be anywhere near as good as the world has made it seem if I were able to break it down and be more analytical with it. But I can't separate my nostalgia from that.
And you don't because have
it played
to.
Such a big part of why I enjoyed it. But I wonder, is the show, if I saw it through the eyes of a millennial, is what I'm saying, and I will never repeat those words, I never want to be a millennial, but I wonder if I saw it through the eyes of a 21-year-old, how it would feel. I'm just kind of putting that out there.
It would feel the way that you feel about things where kids are. It takes place in the 70s. You would watch it and you would like it, but it wouldn't. You wouldn't have a personal memory. It wouldn't personally feel like, oh man, yeah, like that's this. Like, okay, no, I have the perfect example. Perfect example. The Americans. That was set. That I believe they're taking place right now, like 1984. So we were 4 years old. We don't really know what the fuck was going on, but we kind of have a memory of like being like really little kids in time like that. But I guarantee, like, our parents who are watching it will be like,
they're tripping out more.
Yeah. Like, there were some of the tops and the jackets that she wears. I swear my mom had them. I'm just like, oh my God. But it's like that. And then for like our parents' generation, maybe it's something like Stand By Me or. I don't know.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about the nostalgic connection.
No, but I'm talking about
is the show as good just never mind my actual enjoyment of it. I'm wondering if the show is as good as people make it seem, or is my nostalgic connection with it elevating it to a higher level than the quality of the show really
I'll
is.
I'll tell you right now, it's elevated it. Because I'm on the corner where I really enjoyed the show, but I know I really enjoyed the show because of its nostalgia reasons. If I go in and talk about like the story of the show and what happened, I'm like, especially the last episode, man, I am not the person that you want to talk to. Because
I wasn't as self-aware as you are in that regard.
But it's not my genre, Jason.
And I'm not saying it's
Jason.
A bad thing. I just think it's an interesting point of discussion.
Yeah, it's not. That's not my genre. So I'm not gonna like automatically have a ride or die for it. Because the only reason I was watching it was sort of for that nostalgia reason. Because I'm not a sci-fi sort of
horror
person.
Punk.
Yeah. On the flip side, has like all the check marks, all the things I love, elevated Feud, Betty versus Joan, that's on FX, better than it actually is? Probably, because I enjoy the hell out of that show. But it's got all the things that I love. It's got all these great performances. It's about these women who are fascinating. So, yeah, I'm probably elevating that in my mind that it's probably not as good as I think it is. But I'm like, this is fantastic.
Yeah. I think when a show gets as big in pop culture mainstream as something like Stranger Things, I think it's much easier for people to fall in love with it and get on the hype train than it would be just a regular type of show. I think people want to be a part of that collective that's celebrating something.
It doesn't have, because when we were kids and when we were in high school and even in college and stuff, like we would have things like that. It would be television shows. Like I would go into school on Friday and talk about Seinfeld. And everybody watched it because you had to watch Seinfeld. But now everything, you know, you have DVR, you got clouds, you got on demand. People watch things whenever they watch. And there's so much stuff to watch that when it all, it's like, you know, it hit at the perfect time. It's summertime and it's out. And people spend millions and millions and billions of dollars trying to get that lightning in a bottle where they have a product and it just taps into, like, I guess they call it like the zeitgeist, and people all want to be a part of it. Like, people still all want to be a part of things. It's why the Super Bowl is always ranked number one. All those people aren't watching football, but they know that everyone is watching football. And so it's human nature.
Unless you're an asshole like me, and then you you want to buck the system for the sake of bucking it.
Yeah, but this show couldn't buck you. You wanted to hate it when all the people started.
I wanted to love it, actually. Kevin told me about it, and I was like, okay, I'll check it out. And then the first episode, I was like, you got your hooks in me, you fuckers.
But he was onto it before.
Yeah. Like, it was like blew up. Just released.
Yeah, because he was one of those people that when the trailer came out, he was talking about it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, this Netflix thing. Like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then he sent it to me, and I was just like, I will watch this.
Who knows what he thinks about it now?
I wonder. I think we're both cautiously anticipating the second season.
I mean, is it going to be a True Detective season two?
Exactly. And it very well could be. You might have the same solid cast, but then you might be like, okay, this worked because you had this tight little storyline that you told.
Oh, and I didn't even think it was that tight. So
right. So but they cannot help themselves. The powers that be, they cannot help themselves. There's no way, and it's incredibly rare to the point where I probably couldn't even give you an example where they would just look at it and be like, you know what? That's it. That's the story we wanted to tell, and we're done with it.
It's going to be...
Even though everyone put sacks of gold in front of them.
That makes me wonder. There's a show on HBO. They said it was a miniseries. It's based on a book, Big Little Lies. It just finished. You know, since it's based on a book, it basically told the story of the book and however many episodes it was. But people are talking about it. People like it. And I'm kind of like, well, is it just going to be like, oh, we told the story and that's it and move on? Or is there going to be too much? Are people going to put too much money in front of people? And they're going to be like, guess what? We're going to do season two.
I wouldn't put a past them.
I mean, it's money. If anybody's in that position and they're like, man, we just did complete a bunch of hard work and we, you know, I don't know if they had a great time. Say they had a great time doing it and the reception it got was great and fantastic and people were like, oh, we made a lot of money off of that too. How about we both make some more money at this?
It's very rare when the creative side can overpower the financial side.
I think it's like Dave Chappelle.
Yes, he's he is like the one guy that walked away from Scrooge McDuck money and said, "Yeah, I'm kind of done with this." And it was such a rare thing that people thought he was insane.
Yeah,
people thought that his behavior was literally mentally insane or crazy. Everyone remembers those stories. Dave Chappelle's gone crazy. Yeah, has he gone to Africa because he lost his mind? No. You just can't believe that he walked away from something that he was just done with.
He was and he knew that he had more than enough money to be all right.
That is how rare that behavior is in Hollywood, that they will literally think you're insane.
I don't think it's just Hollywood. I think it's like the creative
realm.
Yeah, the vast majority of people, if they're like, hey, you know, you keep doing this and we'll give you... I'm not going to lie. Excuse me.
Oh, damn. It's
National Beer Day. I don't know what I would do in that situation.
Of course. And that's why everyone thought he was out of his fucking mind. Because that is a temptation that very few people resist. Very few. So nobody would blame you either, Aaron. That's the thing.
I know. I mean, I don't know. I could see it both ways. I could see like, oh, you know, I can have a nice, comfortable life. I mean, you know me, Jason. You know the premium I put on happiness and mental and well-being.
Time. Yes.
And my time. Where if I looked at my bank account, I would be like, you know what? Nobody owns me. I'm out.
Yeah. I could see you doing that.
Or I could be like, I'm having a good time. This is fun. I don't even care.
And that's the thing. I feel like Dave Chappelle just wasn't having a good time anymore.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, I know that everyone and their fucking mom loves this show. And I, you know, I appreciate that. And I just, if your heart's not in it. And that's pretty much how I think that went down. I don't think his heart would have been in it to do another season. And it's, you know, praiseworthy for a guy in his position to walk away from all these guarantees because his heart wasn't in it.
But I don't think the people like that are doing Stranger Days are have like the golden parachute that Chappelle did.
Oh, no.
So
hell no.
I'm like, oh, yeah, all right.
The guys that did Stranger Things are probably just as shocked at the success of the show as anyone. And they're like, yeah, we would, of course we would love to keep this going if we can. They're probably like, fuck yeah, lightning has struck.
Yeah.
But
I mean, because it's so hard to get things made.
Yeah. And when you do, it's so hard to get things to be that cult pop culture phenomenon.
But they cut through the noise, as they say.
Oh, well said. And I don't know why, but you said that HBO show's name. What was that called?
I always get the name wrong. I call it Big Little Dirty Pretty Lies, but it's really Big Little Lies.
Every time you say that, I think of Jerry Blank saying, why did you spread those vicious lies? And Drake says, because you didn't spread those vicious thighs. Strangers with Candy, folks. If you haven't seen that TV show, do yourself a favor.
That's pretty funny.
I mean, with characters like Jerry Blank and Tammy Little Nut.
Oh, my God.
I can't go wrong. Yeah. You better 86 the 69 talk. I mean, what a quotable show.
It is. Oblong.
Oh, fuck. Anyway. That was a pretty long episode, wasn't it? A little over an hour?
It was. And someone sends an email, says, I'm a little light on content.
It never fails. I almost, I gotta stop saying that. But then again, it's almost like superstitious good luck all of a sudden. It's like every time I say I'm light on content, we get a pretty darn solid show. So I'm just going to keep that ball rolling. We'll just wait for my email next week, Aaron.
I can't wait.
I'm going to send it to you and be like, I got nothing.
Like, you're a liar.
You're a pretty little big fat liar or whatever.
You're a pretty little dirty liar.
You pretty little dirty filthy liar.
I'm pretty little dirty liars.
Well, folks, it's monsterandwine@gmail.com. It's mnw.podbean.com. And for all your alternative entertainment needs, it's chachachatv.com. And until next time, arrivederci.